This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now. Earners, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors. And it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, that's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait, don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now.
What's going on, earners? Welcome to EYL University, the number one place for business education. Shadi, tell them what we're bringing.
Yes, EYL University already has over 100 past webinars from all areas of business. It includes weekly webinars from industry leaders. It includes access to our investment Facebook group, movie club, our book club. It also includes access to monthly financial planning calls with yours truly. But what has been added has access to MG the Mortgage Guy's Home Buyer's Blueprint, over 14 hours, everything you need to know as far as the home buying process is concerned. And also what has been added is access to our monthly group chat call. Right. So once a month, me, Troy, and the whole team is going to let you in on our personal plays, our portfolio, what we're doing, and more. So all of that, we are running for a special promo code of 70% off for a limited time only. So head to EYLUniversity.com right now and take advantage.
You know how this works. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. We'll see you on the other side.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Backdrop.
Backdrop.
F*** a mic drop. Backdrop.
Backdrop. All right, guys, welcome back. EYL, biggest in the game. First and foremost, we got to thank you guys for making us number one.
That's a fact.
It's a historic event. First time ever a black podcast reached number one in business charts. So, yeah, thank you guys for that. So this is an episode that I actually was waiting for a while. And it's interesting because we're in Miami, so shout out to Jace. I got to miss everybody that made this happen. Shout out to my man, Jay Goodwin, Jay Cool Love. So we're in Miami. At one of these pool parties, I forget. And SLS.
SLS.
That's the last year.
I figured you wouldn't remember.
That's the last year.
I figured you wouldn't remember.
That's a good time.
So
he was telling me about
four bottles.
He was telling me about a couple rappers like to come on the show, and it's a different type of show because it's a business show, so everybody's not a good fit for the show. So I'm like, I'm not really sure. So I'm like, know who I really want to have on the show. He's like, who? I'm like, Jim. He's like, Jim Jones? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I can make that happen. So then he contacted Mel. Shout out to her. Mm-hmm. And then she put me in touch with Pome. Shout out to him. Yeah. Very professional. I like the whole situation that they had running.
Yep.
So I say that to say, I'm telling like a couple people, like, yo, we got Jim coming on, Jim Jones. And I was kind of taken back because, I don't know, I just always looked at Jim as like an entrepreneur, a business person. Like, he always had a bunch of stuff going on. And a couple people that I was telling, they didn't really understand it. They like, well, what's the conversation going to be about? And then I'm like, giving his resume, and they like, all right, it makes sense now. I don't think that they fully, I don't think people fully appreciate his business acumen. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if you look at it, you know, as far as Saucy Farms, Extract, Vamp Light Fitness, Quarantine Studios, he has a crypto coin.
Don't forget about that.
NFT 7 months ago.
You sold one 7 months ago?
First rapper to sell an NFT 7 months ago at 2.5 Ethereum is roughly like $4,000. I sold a picture of my casket. Took a picture of my casket. Somebody brought it. 2.5 Ethereum now. It's like $4,000 in my digital wallet.
Yeah.
So I've been, I tapped the vein. And then I kind of pulled back, and I'm just trying to figure it out because I kind of take it like a digital baseball card. Mm. And then just got caught up in so many things, and then I start seeing, like,
it's back.
Culture, like, NFT. I'm like, NFT. So it's like, all right, I got some tricks up my sleeve for the next.
Visionary.
Yeah, but even even before that, the music, like, he started, if I'm not mistaken, as he was filming. He was the camera. He was doing camera work, right?
Yeah, I did pretty much
director
everything
and all that
for Cam. It's from security to management to video director to marketing to promo to anything that had to do with the diplomats and anything that you've seen. I pretty much was the one making the vision happen. And it's a vision that all of us put together, but the work behind the scenes and all that was a lot had to do with me.
It was grind time.
So, yeah. So, like I said, it made perfect sense to me. And then once I explained it, they're like, okay, I get it. So I'm excited to have the conversation. So first and foremost, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you all for having me.
Yeah, for sure.
I got to tell you the line, because we live by the line that Cam said. And me and Shotty go way back. We've been friends since 25 years. And when Cam told him, I'm going to get shit right if I spend my cake. Jimmy, I'm going to get you up out of 5H.
100%.
That was his line to me, like, for years. 5H became, like, the school. And his thing was like, I'm going to get you up out of school. And so we finally got me up out of 5H by doing this.
He used to be a public school teacher in the Bronx, I said.
Oh, that's dope, man. Like, that's one of my dream jobs is to actually be a teacher.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You used to teach a class, actually, right?
Yeah, I had taught a curriculum for like 3 years. They let me teach it one time during. The first time I did it, they let me teach it during the actual school. Like, you know, 2:15 was Mr. Jones' class. I was like, it was dope. And then they let me do it two times as the after-school program. And it was funny because all 3 years, my attendance was perfect. And actually, more kids were trying to come to the program than anybody else. And I figured 1 or 2 weeks, the kids would be done with the Jim Jones. But no, they were heavily intrigued. They kept at it. They did their work. See, something about what music does to kids as far as just to be a part of it and learn things that they've been watching and wanting to be like in rappers and stuff like that. So I broke down a whole classroom into a fully functioning record label, Walker department, all of the departments you could think of. And I bring in the head of each department from these labels that I knew to actually speak to the kids. And then I show the kids how to market and promote an artist from the moment he gets signed to the moment he puts out some music and so forth and so on. And it's pretty dope. I actually want to start to do that virtually now.
Mm. Were you doing this in Harlem or in the Bronx?
What you mean?
Where the school was?
The school was in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn?
I did it, yeah.
All right, cool.
So I got a couple questions. First, I want to start with the music. So independent, you're still independent, right?
Yeah.
Empire?
Yes.
So, all right, can you break that down? Like, how, what does that mean to be an independent artist? Like, do they just distribute your music and you have to take care of, like, touring and marketing and all that? Or is it like a 50-50 type joint
venture?
It depends
on what type of independent situation you're in. There's a few types. So Empire is a distribution, like, so they give you distribution. And they probably give you numbers from anywhere from 15-85 split to 20-85 split, whatever you can agree in. Their job is to make sure your music is put up on all platforms and they monetize the music so you can get paid every month. And if you can make $300 worth of music or sell $300 worth of music, then you'll get a check minus whatever percentile it is and up forward. But when an artist catches a buzz with one of these records, you know, Empire is compelled to give you label support, and sometimes your split might go to a 50-50 till you recoup if they put money on radio promo or video promo. Then at that time, they can act as a label for you because you have a record that makes sense for the both of parties to continue with. Or you could just keep it how you want to keep it and just collect your money. And then you can sign to independent labels such as Koch, where the numbers might be a little bit different, but you're still an independent entity depending on how you strike your deal. But Koch is a label no matter how you look at
you
it.
You set that thing on fire.
Yeah.
I
see what people don't understand is it wasn't setting Koch on fire per se, it was then setting a business model on fire.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. Because you had guys, the crew was on Def Jam at the time. And you had the independent thing, and it was kind of like, it's independent. But then the way you were doing it,
it didn't matter because people wanted to see the Diplomats.
Exactly.
So wherever we wanted to put the Diplomats at, people were going to go to get whatever the Diplomats were going. And I wasn't going to get the money that I thought I should get at a major label. So, I mean, Cam was like, it makes sense to do what some of these South artists we've seen were doing. And we took that model, and then that blew the whole thing up for the whole East Coast, especially for New York and all these independent labels that start coming out from all of these major labels who start doing subsidiaries like Red, Sony, and all this type of thing. Those are solely because of us doing what we did at Koch. You know, a label can't let no money slide. If they see another business model that's working, they have to copy so that they can jump in the game. And this is pretty much what me and Cam did for the East Coast of music.
That Balling record.
Different.
Nah, it was a big
different
record, man.
Yeah, it broke a lot of records. Made Koch a shitload of money. Made Koch like $20 million, something like
that. Don't forget
that.
The remix.
It made Koch $20
million? Something like that. You know, I ate off of it a little bit. For independent artists, I was the only independent artist to be able to get a publishing deal at that time, period. Like, they were not giving any independent artists a major publishing deal, and I did mine. I had a big one.
So independent artists, they still don't have their publishing?
It depends if independent artists are smart. I'm not saying they don't have their publishing. Yeah. I'm saying major publishing, they don't give out publishing deals to most independent artists.
Oh, okay.
You have to be of some phenomenal success for them to really think that is
worth it
for them to give you a major publishing deal. And then most independent artists don't know how to retrieve the money off their publishing. And then you have different people that know. So I got a whole new publishing model. I don't think I'm a...
Nobody's listening.
I don't think I want nobody waiting outside for me. But in this next few months, I'm going to probably change the game on how publishing is seen and brought in, invested in, and all type of things.
You've been right a lot, so
yeah. I mean, I'm not wrong. I mean, I'm going to show artists how to get paid instantaneously on their publishing as soon as they create records.
But yeah, no, that's good because remember Ryan Leslie, he was saying like how you got to track down for your publishing and like even overseas. And it's like it's a whole business just trying to actually get the publisher.
Right, because every time your record's getting played, technically you should be getting paid from it. But if you got people playing it in Germany and people playing in South Africa, who's the person that's tracking all that?
I mean, there's people that actually do that. There's people who get paid for that. And then there's people that are vultures for that because they know if publishing doesn't get claimed by a certain amount of time, they can claim it. And then if it don't get claimed after a certain amount of time, after they claim it, they could keep it.
Wait, the record label or just?
There's people in general.
There's people just like, people they never claimed it.
Who's into that
business. Wow.
That's crazy.
It's freaky.
Wow.
I don't know how they do it, but certain things like that, but I'm not into none of that. What I'm going to do is show artists how to get paid instantaneously off of publishing from the moment they create a record. I'm not going to go into.
Were you ever signed to a major?
Yeah, I took a bunch of money from Sony.
That was after Balling.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that work out?
Terribly. It was just an awkward situation. They were in the midst of doing business with Jay, and they didn't think that it was
Oh, yeah, I had some friction at the time.
I mean, it was friction, but they didn't think that it was beneficial to Sony to have me sign to Sony and Jay doing business with him at the same time. So he gave me a piece of paper. I was like, yo, to sign this paper, you don't owe us no money, nothing. So that's how much money they got. Everything is pretty much a tax write-off. They didn't really care at them labels. They're not losing no money. This money's grandfathered in. They just collecting the interest and playing with tax money.
So after you left Sony, I guess years down the line, you do reconcile and become part of Roc Nation.
Yeah.
How, what was that process like? Because I ran into you at a Roc Nation event. It was downtown. Y'all were talking about the history of the label. Mm-hmm. It was you, Biggs, and Lenny Yes was there. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. I'm actually watching history take place. So how did that relationship get reconciled, and how did you get to Roc Nation?
It's mutual friends, man, Vic, that I always work out with. So we still have mutual friends that's I'm cool with, and they cool with, and stuff like that. And it's worked in our favor. And, you know, time will tell. I mean, time heals everything. And as you get older, you want to make smarter moves and do things that's worth it. I mean,
yeah, we spoke to Fat Joe, and that was a similar thing. As a fan watching it, it was like we got to watch some of the guys that we looked up to actually age and grow and mature. Mm-hmm. And so it's beautiful to see that. That's why, you know what I mean? It's just a dope thing, because a lot of the times, especially growing up, we lost some of our greatest artists because they never got a chance to mature and grow and reconcile with some of their differences. So I think it's beautiful that y'all got the chance to do that.
100% shout out to the whole Roc Nation.
Yeah. So you know what him and Fat Joe have in common with me? The first time I saw Fat Joe in person was the Rocker. First time I saw him in person was Kingdom. Mm-hmm. He's riding a bicycle. Richie Parker was there. It was like real Menace to Society type vibe. Like he was riding a bicycle in Kingdom. That's the first time I ever saw him in person.
100%.
Yeah. Basketball. Harlem basketball tournament. Mm-hmm. So let's get to this Vant Life Fitness. You know what? I'm not sure if you really realize what you like that fitness wave, like, because we used to work at, well, we still do, but at that time we was working out a lot, and we was getting our workouts from your page. Like, we would watch your page. Like, yo, he just did this. We got to try this.
I'm trying to tell you. We would come up with a schedule. I still have it on my phone. I'll show you after this. It was the, in case you missed it. In case you did it, I did arms. In case you did it, I did legs. And so he was like, what are we going to do today? I'm like, let me see what Jim did. Like, all right.
Nah, it was good.
It was great.
And that's what
you should do that more often.
I had so much was going on. So I had
your shoulder got twisted.
Yeah.
I was like, damn. What are we going to do?
And everything. So I still got all the footage in my phone. Like, I still work out at least 5 times a week just editing it and putting it up. But I did a deal with Dana Pro for VantFit, a company called Dana Pro. We just be selling everything from bands to equipment to challenges to workout to fitness to nutrition to anything possible you think of when it comes to fitness. I believe we're doing a soft launch. I believe it's like March 8th where the website goes up and find out some more information about what we're about to offer and what we're about to bring to the table.
Oh, it's coming.
Like what's the thing that we used to do? Insanity.
Beachbody.
Beachbody.
Yeah. Something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
No disrespect. P90X. No, that's a whole different.
I don't know if we're going to hold full time, but it's definitely some great challenges. I got some dope trainers that works with me, and we got some dope stuff for the people. I'm heavy on being able to work out in the house with minimal equipment to use. So this is what a lot of the challenges are mm-hmm. based on. And at the same time, for those who love to go to the gym, we show you with the...
Yeah, I seen the one of the towel workouts with the dumbbells. I'm like, I don't know if I could try that yet. I liked Jim when he had his shoulder hurt, because it was like, you know what? I can do that. And then you got healed. I'm like...
Nah, you know, it's one of these...
pull-up game is different.
It's a billion-dollar industry.
It's fascinating.
There's so many people that need direction when they work out. I say that to say, I'm glad that you're doing that. Because I was thinking, like, they should have been did this. Because it was like people was literally watching your page. And not just us. Like, our friends that work out, too. Like, everybody was, like, tuning in. Like, yo, it's really legit workouts.
And so it'll ramp back up. And it's one of the reasons I slowed down is because I did the deal. And they were building a website. And want to have all the footage. So then now we upload it on a website. So we can now drive traffic to the website from my social page when I put up a little workout, then you can go watch the full workout at mm-hmm. the VFS site, and then we'll put those up.
App too?
App, website, everything.
When did you get into work? Like, were you always want workout vibe? Or?
Yeah, I've been working out for the past 20-something years of my life. You know what I mean? I started really working out when I got with my lady. I was a bit slim, and I ain't really want her looking at other niggas. So I had to put some weight on.
Summers in Miami.
Yes. No better inspiration than that. But yeah, man. But VanFit, yeah, we definitely got something going, man. Fitness is a part of life. It's a way of life for us. We're not just doing it for the camera or for the money. This is something that we do every day like an army.
Yeah, so Vamp Fit is one thing, but Vamp Life is the clothing?
Vamp Life is the overall brand.
The
Vampire
brand.
Life is the overall brand. And yeah, I have a clothing line called Vampire Life that I did a lot of merch to and things like that. So Vampire Life is pretty much what I've been pushing since I've been doing the diplomat stuff. Then VL is all over the place. It's pretty much the enterprise of everything that I got under it, from the quarantine studios to the coin to everything.
I want to talk about that, quarantine studios. What's the deal with that? That seems like a good idea. Another good idea. You got a lot of good ideas.
Visionary, man.
Good ideas is cool, but execution is everything.
That's the most important part.
That's what I've been blessed to do, is execute all of these ideas that I came with. Now, quarantine studios is twofold. One part is it's a platform built on services for artists and artists alike, and meaning for independent artists or established artists or even people who wish to render services, from people such as DJs, rappers.
So PR, management?
PR, entertainment, lawyer, whatever you could think, publishing, or you can return your services. And then the flip side is we have a techie part, a platform that we've created, and I've figured out how to record virtually in real time with no latency, and I could add everybody to it, and I could record with anybody, and my engineer could be on the moon as long as he has Wi-Fi, and I ain't got to do nothing but get in the booth. Like, I'm really in the booth, and that's for everybody that's on the screen.
So how does that work? Because the typical thing would be studio time. So I'm wondering, is Quarantine Studios a subscription service?
Well, I can't talk about my partner the partners that we have that's actually building it out. What I can tell you, this is probably one of the biggest forms of movement in the whole space of the world right now, and it's definitely puts a smile on my face. But all these things you're talking about are all going to be built in from clouds and engines in the sky, where we don't have to actually use the space on your computer, and you still could get the full capability of the studio we have too. So all these type of things, man. We don't have to go deep into that. I don't want people to feel like I'm too much of a nerd. I keep my gangster going, you heard?
Yeah, we don't.
At all times.
But yes, we have people that's building out the whole platform, and it's going to make it very convenient for people. And this is pretty much natural progression, like from beepers to iPhones, and in the wave of where the whole record industry is going to have to go. From the looks of things and everything being closed in, and everybody had to switch over to doing everything virtually, this is one-stop shopping. I mean, you got executives that could be in Cali and now look at an artist that's in the studio in Miami and watch him record. And if he likes him, you can actually sign the artist without leaving the screen. You can send a link, put the lawyer on there, and the lawyer pop up. Nobody leaves the screen until the deal is done. Shit like that. And I'm going to have the auto sign built in, so it would be one click of a button, and you could just sign directly digitally, and your career is set. This type of shit is different, so I'm not going to keep getting into it.
Nah, this is good, because as you're talking, I'm thinking about all the tech that's involved. So it's like, not that you're a nerd, but it's like,
I mean,
I'm glad that people get to hear you talk about this, because it's like, yeah, you're talking about
DocuSign. No, you got to speak about it, because it's like, at the end of the day, it's all about education.
Yes.
And it's like, if people aren't properly educated, they keep making the same mistakes. Mm-hmm. And they keep getting like mad at their record label because they're getting taken advantage of because they're not being educated. So it's like, at the end of the day, this is why I think our platform is so successful now, because it's like, yeah, I mean, education is the new cool.
No, of course.
It's cool to be educated.
For the life of me, anywhere I go, I'm only there to gain knowledge and give knowledge. You heard? Because I don't know it all. Yeah. But I can learn it all.
That's it.
It's a ball.
And it's like, you know, with so many artists, I feel like, coming up, how are they going to... And I want to get your perspective on this. Like, what do you think the direction of music is now? Like, do you think major labels at some point will be non-existent, or will they always be there? Like, what's your thoughts
major
on this?
Major labels are always going to be there, as much as the artists like to say, fuck the major label and all that. That's one of the biggest banks you ever could do business with. At some point, you will want to match a dollar. Even if you're a self-contained record label that's doing $100 million, if the record label say, we're going to put $200 on top of that $100 you've been making, what you going to do? Why would you not do it at that point? Mm-hmm. That's money is non-recoupable. You ain't got to pay back shit once they put it in your bank account. They hope that you sell enough records to make some of this shit back. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, so yeah. I don't want the labels to go anywhere. I need one of the match-offs and things like that. But for most artists, I understand what they mean by fuck the labels. They come into the game thinking that the labels is here to jerk them. And that's so stupid because you're only going to jerk yourself. You know the rules, man. You get what you negotiate, not what you deserve. So you better hope you can negotiate what you deserve. And that's just that. It's like when people come in the game and they give up 50% of everything and then 5 years later when learning the game, they riffing and ran on social media. Fuck this nigga. But this is what you agreed to when you first came in. Yeah. You dig? And there's a way smarter way to go about things than getting on the gram and saying fuck this nigga because that ain't gonna get you your money back. You gotta be sound and you gotta be smart out here. And the industry is one of the illest games ever because so many niggas I've seen get robbed and that's all they do is complain about but actually do nothing to actually get their money back.
Yeah. So, but is it, and we have this discussion all the time. We talk about the music business, but is it really a business? Like, the things that you learned, you had to go through to actually physically get that lesson, right? There was no book, right? So, like, is it really a business?
It's definitely a business. It's one of the biggest business moving liquid out here. It is no bigger than the music business. But the thing about that, it's no different than the crypto space. You can create your own rules within this music business. Mm. The more you gain success and the more you become an influencer, the more they let you do what the fuck you want to do. And if you're smart enough, you're building a blueprint that people going to follow that makes you make a dollar. That's why the game is so ill. Of course it's a business. You dig? Now, does the business have a heart? Hell no. The business is built on discouragement. Period. You heard? You got to be strong-minded to make a dollar in the midst of this music industry. That's why there's only a few of them that's making that type of dollar.
I think what you were talking about, Chris Guy, you're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't that he said it wasn't a business. He was saying that it's not run like a business, where it's like you can just become an executive just because you know somebody. Like,
but what constitutes us saying this is how a business is ran if it makes money? If I run my business from the house smoking weed and I'm making more money than the way you run your business, then whose business model is better?
That's true. True. It's in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, it's fair.
That's true.
That's fair.
Fair point. Good point.
Yeah, like you could go to work wearing a full suit and I could go to work wearing a t-shirt and still make more money than you.
Well, you can wear hoodies.
Whatever.
That's what.
It's the same fact. Difference. So yeah, it all depends on the eye of the beholder and how what people consider business. At the end of the day, business is about the dollar you make, right?
That's a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm listening to you talk now. I'm like, this guy is a professor. Is part of the quarantine studio, is there an education component where you're teaching these things?
These things, yes. There's going to be education components on many things on quarantine studio, starting from engineering, because now it's not just being in the studio. You have to learn how to engineer virtually. So mm-hmm. I got a whole engineering school for engineers that want to come on and learn how to be engineers, because pretty soon this space, I'm going to have thousands of engineers to occupy the space of all the studio sessions that these kids are going to start doing virtually.
Yeah.
So I have to train all these and even train the kids for where they could just do it in their house on their own instead of going on and getting paying for an engineer. And then, like I said, the program, the music program, I would like to put it back up and do that through Quarantine Studios. Everybody that we have working on there from Mel, she does like tutorials for lawyers that come under her that we can use on Quarantine Studios. Chanel, who's my head publicist, is over there. She does the same thing. So it's like, and right now we're at the beginning stages. So we're more of the trying to acquire people to help run this machine as opposed to giving lessons and things like that. And then once we have every man on the ship that we need to make this bitch cruise, and then we'll start giving the lessons that need to be gave.
Your son's doing engineering, right? You were teaching him about that?
Yeah. When I first bought the rig, my son is real dope at computers, and I pretty much know he could do anything if it has involvement with a computer. I'm like, I need you to learn how to engineer while I set this shit up. So I got Guru, Jay's go-to guy to help. Sunny Digital, a few people actually got on and showed him a couple of tricks, and he learned it like that. So that's a skill that he has with him when he go to college.
Technology. They brought me iPads. They brought me. I'm using. This is it, man. He's a tech guy. I use yellow pads.
Nah, I use paper too. I can't. So everything that I do, I have to write out. except for music. I don't use a pen with music. But everything I do, I have to write out because the way my brain is running. So I have to kind of see it. So I got big pads and shit like that. But I can't do that shit on the computer.
Exactly.
But I can do everything on here and shit like that. But I can't. I'm never going to go to the notes. Like, I'm never going to pop up a notes. Like, no, I need to go in my house and that shit. Boom, 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 boom. Like, I know, like, I'm a little bit old school with that shit.
That's a fact.
But I like gadgets, though. I got all the gadgets, but I just can't. That's all. I'll be writing my notes and get me organized.
Yeah, it's old school. It's not like it, man.
And I told her, I'm like, I just told him the story. I'm like, I got this dude, the iPad. I haven't seen it. But what happened was we kept doing the pads, and then my brother was like, "Y'all gotta have some uniformity. Like, you got a yellow pad, he got a white pad." So, like, and then I kept losing pads.
But this is now this is money.
This is
this pad is an NFT now.
NFT.
We're gonna sell this pad for a whole NFT, and I want some money. We're gonna sell the picture of this pad and every picture on this pad, and we're gonna sell this shit as your NFT, and you're gonna make a shitload of money.
Speaking about NFTs, let's talk about NFTs. So we interviewed 19. We gotta reference 19 Keys. Shout out to
19 Keys. That's my boy. Smart gentleman. Yeah, I like how he
Yeah, that's my guy. So we was in Miami. He was the first person to put us up on NFTs. Then we interviewed Mark Cuban.
Yep.
Mark Cuban, heavy on NFTs.
And he was making money.
He made $90,000 in 22 minutes.
He said, don't cheat him.
Then we interviewed Gary Vee. And he said, that's all he's focused on right now is NFTs. So it's been coming in a wave right now. So how'd you get introduced to NFTs?
My man Noel, he owns a platform called Zap Theory.
Oh, okay.
They've been helping me out a lot when it came to all this crypto and techie stuff, and I've learned so much from them. So maybe about 7 months ago, they was like, we got this new thing, NFT, and they was explaining to me, and like, so it was pretty much like a digital baseball card, pretty much. They're like, yeah, pretty much. They're like, shit, take a picture of something and give it to us. So I took a picture of my chain. Part of me texted to him. Next day, he was like, well, somebody just brought it for $1,000. I'm like, what the fuck you mean somebody brought a picture I just texted you for $1,000? The shit is what the fuck? Like, well, shit. They like, that's it. And then it was like, wow. And then to see, you know, as Ethereum goes up, your money goes up and shit like that. So they brought it for $1,000. Now it's at like $4,000 up and down because Ethereum been going up and going down and things like that. But that's pretty much how a NFT works. And
you got the commission. Favor. You got the commission on it.
No, it's mine.
Okay,
you dig?
Yeah.
But now that person that brought it, every time he sells it,
you get a commission.
Right. That's from the commission.
So that
for the life of the whole NFT.
Yeah.
So if it gets tossed around a million times, exactly. I get a commission every million time.
That's the illest part.
Yeah. Did you set the rate? You know the rate that you set? Cause it, Mark, when he was explaining to us the first time he did 10%, and I was like, that's cool.
Yeah, I wanted to say I think it's like a 10% rate.
He went up to 50. He's like, he just kept raising it. Like,
like, why not?
Fuck
it. It depends. Like what I just told y'all, the more you are successful, the more you have influence, the more you could do what the fuck you want to do.
Right, well, that's
what Mark Cuban is doing. Like, he's a billionaire. He knows what the fuck he's talking about. He could keep 50% if he want. I don't give a fuck. I'm in business with Mark Cuban. That's what the average person is thinking about. I'm half and half a Mark Cuban. Yeah. What's up?
Yeah, as you're talking, I'm thinking to myself, how many are you having these conversations with, like, when you go out and you're in Harlem and you kicking with your homies? Are these conversations that y'all are having, or everybody's like, I ain't trying to hear that?
No, these are conversations that I'm having with a lot of my people. Like,
that's dope.
I'm in a group chat now with shout out to Breezy. Chris Breezy's my dude. We was all in a group chat earlier today with a bunch of dope people from the crypto space. Shouts to Wilson Chandler. Shouts to my man Slow Bucks. It's pretty much.
It's the wave right now. Yeah. Like, it's not. That's why I said, when you see Meek Mill, that's all he's talking about right now. It's crypto.
And this is why I made the coin, because I was, you know, I've been in the space for a minute, and then it became like, you know, every time hip hop grabs something, it's like the end thing to do. Like, everybody gotta have a Cuban link. So now you dig when you see the lit niggas start talking about some shit and everybody start talking about some shit, and I'm just watching like, this shit too easy. I'm like, man, make me a coin now. I said, people keep talking about all the shit they doing. Club pop, whatever the shit is called.
Clubhouse.
They all on there. I've been on there a couple times. They all on there talking about this shit, and everybody's just talking about this shit. I'm like, Pong, get the, get, man, tell, I need a coin now. I can't. I don't like talking too much. I don't like talking to people too much, especially stupid people. I'm like, you know what? I need the coin. I'm not into investing in stocks. I don't know how to invest in stocks. And I was telling this to somebody the other day, but I know how to create a stock so that you can invest in. And here we go. Now I have the Capital Coin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So what's the science behind that?
Well, I plan to build. I start with my own ecosystem within the culture using this social currency. Meaning as the closest things that surround me even with business, like GBNY is a sneaker store that I'm fully vested in.
Absolutely.
So now with the Capital Coin, in the future you'll be able to use the Capital Coin to buy sneakers at GBNY and so forth and so like other companies like what's my dudes in Brooklyn that got the store, the drip store, the brothers, I forgot. But just like that, like just using everything around me to kind of push the Capital Coin and create a buzz and have people dive into it and things like that. I mean, for what it's worth, they say it's going to be no more paper in a minute and everything is going to be digital. So at that point, where we stand as the culture is we're the power. So you have people like Elon Musk who can say whatever he wants and these rappers think that he's fucking God. But what they're not realizing is that he's using the power of our culture to fuel his whatever he thinks about whenever he needs it because he knows who has the power is the culture. Anything we grab hold of 9 times out of 10 is going to be successful and prosperous. But our people are always tricked into thinking that somebody like Elon Musk is the gatekeeper when it's not, when we're the gatekeepers. You know what I mean? So I created Capital Coin in hopes that our culture understands the power of that coin. And not saying I'm the only one that has a coin. Like shouts to Little Yachty, shouts to Little Pump, shouts to Akon. But everybody has their own way of how they're doing it. Like some people just solely relying on their success for that coin to make money for I'm using my coin as real social currency so that we kind of have our own dollars that we can spend the same places that Bitcoin is going to be spent, the same places that, what is Mark Cuban said, now you can use Doge to buy tickets at. So you understand?
You're on it.
I'm in the space, so I understand what's going on. I want to be able to use Capital Coin to get Mavericks tickets too. Like, you dig? But we the culture, and we have so many things that we can use in avenues. Like, we have black people that listen to rap that own dentists. We have black people that listen to rap that are doctors. We have...
Yeah, that's a fact. I mean, it's a whole culture.
Yeah.
And bigger than just even black people. Just I feel like hip-hop culture influences the whole entire world.
But we don't support ourselves.
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
We're going to buy the Balenciaga and somebody black can make the same thing with the same quality, even iller drip, and we're still going to buy the Balenciaga.
Yeah, and I saw that you made it a very concerted effort to make sure that you highlighted black businesses.
All the time.
I thought it was dope for the entire month.
I'm not saying I'm on some Kunta Kente shit. Like I don't No, nigga, I rock
you
all
got,
this shit.
Yeah,
you got drip. Drip is drip.
Send
the shit is
me.
Fly. I'm going to put it on.
And it was fire.
With the Dior. I'm going to put it on. With the Airs. I'm going, you dig? Now it's part of the fit. It's drip. You dig?
The drip report.
Period. Who really in charge?
Please tell me who's really in charge. Please. Shout out to Reebok, man. That's it.
Did you trademark the foot tap?
Yes.
I knew you did.
Foot tap is legendary.
I saw, and shout out to everybody in Texas, but when they had the snow, it was nothing but the foot taps. I'm like, yo, Jim's
foot tap.
Got the taps.
Foot taps every, like,
foot tap is legendary.
Every week, that shit goes crazy. It's funny, man. We actually on our third season on that show. Next week, we start the third season. So, shout out to Diddy. Shout out to everybody at Reebok.
So
DeTavio is my guy.
So, it started as... I mean, I was watching you on Instagram doing it, and then they saw it, and it caught... So it's an actual show that... every Friday?
It's a weekend show.
It's a weekend show.
It's a weekend weather show every Friday, so you can watch it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It repeats, and then it's on YouTube.
Can I keep it real with you?
What's up?
My wife gonna kill me. It was cold this morning, and when she put on them Uggs, I said... Nah, we're doing this. She's gonna kill me. I hope you don't hear it. I said, you can't go outside. Somebody's gonna see you. And you always talk about us. Baby girl.
I said, somebody's gonna see you.
But being this shit, you got me thinking, crap. I'm like, yo, somebody's gonna see you. You're like, your baby girl. Baby girl, your Jerry girl. Nah, but nah. She took them off.
You gotta think twice.
Yeah, she took them off. She took them off.
Nah, it's just.
Appreciate that.
No, thank you.
Drip responsibly. Not
drip responsibly. I like that. That's the next report. 100%.
stealing that. Baby girl, watch that Jerry curl.
For real. Do none of that wet sauce, none of that gelling, none of that.
It's nasty out here.
Yeah.
If you got them olives on, you're going to slide down the street. Don't do
it. Yeah. Slide like you in a bowling alley, boy. You better chill out.
Not with the crypto. So it's integrated vertically, because I know you said that also you could use it for the quarantine studios too, right?
Yeah. So right now to actually acquire crypto, we acquired a capital coin. What we've been doing is every Monday I have like these launch parties where we talk about crypto and people ask me questions.
Like on Zoom?
No, actually on the Zap Life space. Oh, okay. And they have a space that's like a entertainment space similar to Zoom where multiple people will come on and we talk back and forth about Capital Coin, what it means, what I'm trying to do with it. People ask me questions. And then, you know, it's packages that people could to buy, to acquire the coin instantaneously during that event. And then right now, if you have Ethereum, you could actually go and purchase the Capital Coin straight with the Ethereum. And then in the future, in the near future, you'll be able to purchase the Capital Coin with your credit card.
Mm. So Zap3 is the only place you can get it?
Yeah, it's right on the Zap3 platform. But okay. it's on Ethereum base. So it's currently at a cent right now, which I'm pretty hyped for, because a cent is a cent. A penny is a penny.
We've seen a lot of these. Some of these coins... less than a penny.
Yes. Like 0.00.
Yeah, tenth of a penny.
We had a penny, and I want to say I sold through these events maybe like $40,000 in Capital Coin so far. So I'm just trying to keep it organically for right now and just getting people involved and letting them understand what I'm trying to do. And, you know, I got a lot of fans. I got my own little ecosystem myself. So
cultural icon.
Yes, that's a fact.
Cultural icon.
And I'm thinking like now, like, if you can start integrating into some of these larger platforms, like Gemini or a Kraken or even a...
So Coinbase, what we plan on doing is at least selling more than half of the coins before we actually start to get involved with these other platforms.
You got to circulate. So how many in supply? you know, that's the next question.
100 million.
100 million.
100 million. Jim, he's really in the space.
This is a functioning coin.
I believe in it. I'm going to get some.
Please.
Capital Coin.
Please do. On Monday, we got the next seminar, so you'll get your tap in. I'll make sure Paul gets y'all tapped in so you could just come on. I would love for y'all to speak.
Okay.
There's people just asking questions in general and things like that. And I'm not the smartest person. I know a lot about nothing, so I kind of could finesse my way through some things. You know what I mean?
So let's talk about the sneaker store. How did you get involved in that?
GBs?
Yeah.
Personal friends, Lil Bucks.
Okay.
13 years ago, introduced me to G's. She's at the Coliseum. Indian kid, they Sikhs, young kid, just loved his energy, and our relationship grew into a brotherhood, and been helping him and his family with the sneaker stores for the whole time. So, you know, when it comes to that, I'm heavy vested in that whole sneaker industry.
Definitely. And that's another thing. I think Fat Joe... It's a different level, mm-hmm. but I would challenge anybody against your sneaker collection. It's different. I watched when you went through the boxes. I'm like, he's just gonna throw those like it's nothing. Like,
see, I don't really care about sneakers, even though I love sneakers. At that,
I'm throwing them like.
I like to wear new sneakers every time I come outside. That's always been my thing since a youngster. Just watching my uncles coming up hustling and staying fly. So. Sneakers is always like a pet peeve to me, but the best thing about it is that I don't really give a fuck about them at all. Period. Like,
city girl, care. Period. Like, big with a T. Period.
With a T, man.
They're cool. They're just sneakers. That's it.
That's a fact. Let me ask you this. So who gave you the business acumen, like, as far as, like, the business structure? Like, how did you learn all this stuff? Like, you know, you got the crypto, you got all of this different stuff. Who'd you follow? Like, who was your mentor? Who was the people that actually you said, okay, this is how you move, this is how you get a company, or did you just learn it on your own?
Mistakes. Mistakes is my mentor.
Mm.
That wall I kept crashing into. You dig? The game is to be sold, not told, so these people don't tell you shit, and their advice don't be worth a shit neither. You heard it's hard to take advice from a nigga that never knew where you going or never been to any place that you've been to. You dig? So a lot of the lessons I've learned was by making terrible mistakes or making wrong decisions, and with all that knowledge from learning from my mistakes is what got me here. Plus, I'm pretty good with common sense. You dig? Yeah. A lot of people lack common sense. They think they have it, but they really lack it.
Common sense, not common.
Yeah.
For real.
That's a fact.
Can we talk about this moment in history? And I know it was one of the biggest stories that you posted early on, before we even had Ring of Leisure.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the infamous Supreme story. About your impact on Supreme. And I don't know if there was compensation, but y'all definitely were for me was the first that I had ever seen it. Just took it to
the photo shoot, him and Santana. Yeah.
Him and Santana. And I saw you posted the other day for his birthday. Like, yo, they owe us. And it was like, oh my gosh. But it's not just Supreme. I feel like even Chrome Hearts, like, I saw you guys start that when, and then Lil Wayne took it. I know it was
a. I mean, but none of that shit, Derek, none of that shit really means anything to me. Who am I to be like, tell a person, oh, you owe me because I wore your shit and I'm just a fly nigga like that? You know what I mean? Like, Chrome Hearts didn't ask me to come in his store and, mm-hmm. and buy none of that expensive shit. I came in there because I was on my rock and roll shit and I like to get fly. Yeah. Same like Supreme, they had a bag. They paid us a bag. They did their job. Y'all want to take a picture for us? Here. Who knew the fuck what Supreme was? I got that money and bust a move out of there. You see, my hair was nappy. Shit, they didn't give a fuck. Niggas called us on the phone. They gave us a t-shirt and a hat. They like, let's take a picture like that. Cool. Where the bag at? We out. So they did it, and they did the end of the deal. Me, I just like talking shit because I know the type of influence that we did give them.
That's
I know what we did push them to. And that's another thing with the culture. Like, what I'm saying is, just like we push Supreme, we have yet to really push ourselves to that type of level.
Yeah.
I won't say that, like, we definitely pushed Virgil.
Yes.
We pushed Virgil to the top of the format when it comes to the
drip. That's a fact.
I would say he's one of the black people that we did support when it came.
He's kind of like removed himself from that culture, though. Like, it's...
Which culture?
But it's still black.
Yeah, no, it is. But, like, even like Christian Louboutin, the guy's black. He is black.
Is he?
Yeah. You wouldn't
know
that.
I've seen him a few times.
He's from France. He's black.
Okay.
But it's not like considered urban. You know what I'm saying?
I think Virgil's on. He's on that line of urban.
What is considered urban, boys? We didn't go to the Gap back in the 80s because it was urban.
No, I'm saying like you know when Rockaware.
Yeah, but I know, but you're not listening to me. Rockaware made money off of creating the look that they thought hip hop looked at. We didn't wear that shit. I never wore a rocker wear at all because I'm not from the middle of the country. I'm from New York. I'm going to buy the shit that rocker wear was emulating. You heard? I'm going to buy the real Averex. I'm going to go buy the real Parasuco jeans. I'm going to go buy the Aniche sweatsuit, the velour joint. I'm going to go buy the real elements that make me fresh.
The Sean Jones.
What Rockaway was doing was feeding the middle of America, and they got rich off that shit.
Yeah.
You know what was the number one clothing line for a long time? Paco. You know why? Because Paco was built making everything that hip hop was making. Paco jerseys, and they were the number one clothing line for years and years and years.
I had Paco jeans.
You heard?
I never had Paco jeans.
I had, my dad was doing credit.
So let's not get caught up in this street wearing urban shit, because we never dressed urban in our life. We never went to it was no urban stores. What urban stores it was back in the day? It was Nautica. We went up in the Naughty shop. That was on Amsterdam. We brought all the Naughty sweatshirts with the double pocket and the zip. What happened? That was when Gap had the Gap classic shit. What happened? We didn't go in no urban store. Polo, always been Polo. Tommy Hilfiger, always been Tommy Hilfiger. Mm-hmm. Which urban store did they have exactly back in the day that you're talking about?
Well, FUBU was a billion-dollar
FUBU
company.
is a knockoff. It's the first Rockaware.
Yeah, but you can't deny that cultural influence, though.
They didn't have no cultural influence.
FUBU?
Who wore that in my neighborhood? Nobody wore FUBU in my neighborhood.
No, but I'm just...
Y'all got this fucked up. Let's remember what these things are. They were smart enough to make money off the hip-hop culture because they were part of the hip-hop culture.
Yeah.
We're going to create a clothing line that looks like hip-hop so all the white people in middle America can make us rich. Niggas didn't wear FUBU. Tupac wore FUBU because he got a check. These artists were FUBU. LL got the biggest check.
That's what I'm saying.
Let's not forget this. Niggas didn't win no fucking FUBU.
And the Gap.
And no disrespect to FUBU, because that nigga is a genius. They made a lot of money.
Shout out to
Sharp Tank and all that. But I didn't wear FUBU. I don't give a fuck how much money it made.
You wore Sean John?
Didn't wear no Sean John. Didn't wear no nothing. Nothing. Why? I'm going to go get the real velour shit.
Nah, the Sean John joint was fly.
Sean John wasn't the velour. What was the first velour you rocked? All right, then.
Aniche.
It wasn't Sean John. So let's get to what we're doing. Like, let's not forget what Sean John and all these clothing lines were created to make money off the hip-hop culture. We didn't go to no stores when it was Sean. What? Nigga, it was Mark Buchanan, ooh. Pele Pele's, Soda Clubs, Butter Soft. Like, it wasn't no fucking urban nothing. Puffy and them is from that era. They took that era and made it into Sanjay and John. They took that era, made it into Rockaway. They took that era and made it into FUBU because white people love hip hop so much they was gonna buy all those clothes. Period.
Down South was heavy FUBU.
Yeah, yeah, down South and them shit, but
with the Fat Albert shit.
Okay.
When was that was a mockery. That was a mockery.
When did this start? In 96?
Yeah, 97? Yeah, mid-90s. It started going crazy.
You did?
Everybody had a clothing line at that point.
That shit wasn't out in 94 when we was in high school. This nigga Iceberg. Moschino. Cool G. What you talking about? What urban is y'all talking about?
San Parasuco.
What's up? Hobo jackets. The dude Hobain that made those jackets. Which urban y'all talking about when we was younger buying clothes? Where? Tell me, just name them for me.
Well, we did name them in the
because those are emulations of what we were buying. So why would I buy the shit that I'm going to buy the real thing and look drippy in?
So then let's spin it back to Virgil now.
Virgil's doing the same thing. When he does the streetwear look and all, he's bringing it all back 360. It's just a little bit more drippy and it looks fly. I like it. What happened? He's doing the same thing. Now he's wearing, making big baggy jeans and shit like that. That's back to this whole True Religion and all that type of era when the shit's covered the boots.
He did the CNN album with him and Drake when they had the...
Once again, when you have the influence and the success, they let you do what the fuck you want to do because you're the leader. And once you're the leader, people are going to follow.
I forgot True Religion. Y'all played a part in that, too.
I made True Religion. I didn't play a part in that. I made True Religion until they told me that they was only going to sell me free jeans and not a check. And that was when True Religion was over. Remember that.
Culture icon. Jimmy, I'm going to get you up out.
Two chains couldn't save True Religion when I said it was over for True Religions. Remember that. And this whole shit was built on True Religion. It's a dub. We ain't wearing that no more. They ain't fucking with us. The same way Jay was like, oh, Cristal, W. You heard? When they wrote me that letter, we don't do that. We send you some free jeans. Oh, you got me fucked up. Well, guess what you ain't going to do no more? You ain't going to be part of hip-hop no more. True Legends is out of here.
Sell them in Macy's. It's fact.
Yeah.
It's fact.
The only thing I buy at Macy's is underwear. You heard?
Polo tees.
Shit like that. And the big at the polo section, you get a polo sweat. You get the polo sweat. You definitely go to Macy's to get a polo fit. Honey, they got the real polo section there. You definitely could always go to Macy's for a good polo fit. But don't be start wandering around to all these, like, I catch you in Macy's and you.
If I catch you in American Rag,
you in trouble. You try to do something slick. Like, boy wasn't that polo, right? Like, that was.
We caught you in the Levi's section.
Shit is crazy, Jack. You heard? Send your stylist in there for that, man.
Hilfiger jacket. You get a Hilfiger jacket.
You gotta be spicy, though. You can't just really
wear Hilfiger anymore.
It's been a minute. It's been a minute.
No, Hilfiger always has good jackets. We're not going to do that.
It gotta be spicy, though.
Yeah, spicy.
He's still spicy.
Oh, man. So, let's...
we got way so far off track. I don't know where the fuck we just went.
I was like, okay. Who's really in charge?
What the fuck is in this, really?
A finer. A finer energy chain. Shout out to Jerry Rice, man. Jerry Rice, the greatest football player of all time.
I said that, bro.
The greatest?
I said he's the greatest.
I can't argue with you on football. I got a few football players I like.
Let's talk football.
I'm not really the biggest football fan. I'm like when the Giants won it the last time when Ballin was out. Then before that, when man Sims won it like in 86.
Phil Sims?
Like yeah. But that's one of my personal friends right there.
Oh, you know Phil Sims?
Yeah. Shouts to Sims. Shouts to his sons. All that.
Okay.
Yeah. 86 and 90.
Mm-hmm.
They beat the Bills. Mm-hmm. But you're part owner of the Richmond Rough Riders.
Yeah, I was.
How did that come about?
You just being...
I'm just trying to do something?
Fuck it.
Here's how I think. I got a chance to perform at a Super Bowl at the... What they call them teams? Arena Football.
Okay,
We went there and we performed. I'm in there. That shit is crowded. I'm like, damn. It's like 10,000 people in here. What the fuck going on for this... Like, yo, Pong, what's up with this shit? Tell them niggas we want in. I don't want no fucking money. Tell them, keep that money in. I want ownership in this shit. Like, So, my thing is, now these stadiums can make $500,000 a day just on tickets alone on a Saturday in the daytime when rappers just waking up. So, in my mind, I'm like, and I told this to plenty of rappers. I'm like, yo, I could get y'all a team all the rappers get an arena football team, then y'all niggas could cake up and come twice a year, do a halftime show, make like $400,000 off the attendance alone. That ain't got nothing to do with pretzels and Sprite and Pepsi. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're owner of a real team, and we really could create our own thing when it comes to the culture and now having arena football teams that we... I would love to go see Meek Mill playing Future's team. That shit gonna be lit in that stadium.
Yeah, so,
especially if they know Meek and them coming to coach and all like, nah, I'm in there. I know halftime gonna be dumb. Yeah. So this is how my brain thinks and shit like that. But you know, everybody, one thing I've learned is that the things that I want to happen is not what you might not want to happen. Yeah, and I had to learn that a lot in life and shit like that. As brilliant as I might see or the dopest ideas I might see and shit like that, sometimes it's not gonna work when it doesn't have to, when it's not me as the principal to push them.
I would always tell my homies, but ain't nobody listen.
Yeah, well, everybody doesn't see the vision.
That's it. That would be dope. Now I'm listening to you saying, I'm like, yeah, why couldn't they do that? Arena football is big, and they have like they have their own Super Bowl situation.
It's a subculture.
When you add the sauce to it?
Yeah.
Now niggas is getting lit, niggas getting fresh, the roses is pulling up, nigga. Something to do on a Saturday, because niggas ain't got nothing to do anywhere
on
Saturday.
You know what would be a really good idea is Summer League tournament. Like basketball, like you know how Ice Cube got the 3-on-3?
Yeah.
But like a Summer League in the park with each rapper having their own
team. I think they have a league right now like that.
Yeah, they Revolt.
A rappers league.
Yeah. Crew league. Yeah. But they actually play. No, I ain't watching. But they actually.
They're terrible.
It's like 8-foot rims.
No, it's legit rims.
Nah, I saw a Sway Lee.
If it go 8-foot rims, I'm in.
Yo, Sway Lee.
I'm in.
Sway like that.
8-foot rims.
Nah, it's crazy.
Go wild when the boys out there.
He's actually in the league.
Yeah.
2 Chainz know how to play.
Yeah, he can ball.
But
I saw like 35 on 2 Chainz at the Dipset TRU game a few years back. They won by like 3 points.
You said you scored 35?
Yeah, that's 2 Chainz. I went crazy on them in the second half.
He looking like, you sure?
I went crazy on them in the second half. Me and my man Don Nitty got in the game and went wild with me. I said, oh yeah, we turn it up. Hey, how? Yeah! I'm from Harlem, boy. You know how to get busy.
Yeah! We start climbing the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly, yeah! It's time to go.
Oh, we missed that this summer. Oh, boy.
Yeah, hopefully Dykeman will open back up this summer.
So, Saucy Extracts.
Right.
What's your involvement?
Saucy Extract has roughly been around going on 5 years.
Okay.
It took about 2 years and some change to get all the legal stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've been in operation for about 2.5 years where we're actually in like upwards of 200 stores, you know, 200 dispensaries in California. And then we're legal with California and in Oregon.
So you're the owner, you're the co-owner or the owner
of
it?
Yeah, my partner.
Oh, yeah?
So,
yeah, I'm not an ambassador.
The only way.
But I got some dope-ass partners. Shout out to my man, Alex Paulie.
If you go on the site, it's all you. Something like this must be his.
No, it's a partnership. Yeah. But I'm grateful to be a partner in something such as this, this business.
Very lucrative.
So when we were talking to Al Harrington, and he was putting us up on game. Obviously, he's huge in the space. And he was saying how tough it is. To get, it's like 1% of ownership is black in the marijuana business. And there's all kinds of like loopholes. Like in New York, I think you got to have like a farming license for 25 years. It's just crazy.
Ridiculous.
$25 million of capital. So how was your experience like getting up and running in the marijuana business? Was it hard?
I was blessed. I didn't have to do nothing but be who I am.
Mm.
Dig, I'm an opinion leader in this game when it comes to smoking weed. And that's been like that for years. You got the Weez, Wiz Khalifa, Snoop Dogg. Think about niggas that smoke in New York or the East Coast. You gonna say Jim Jones. And that's that. I've been smoking gas for half my life. You heard?
Connoisseur.
Exactly. You heard?
The finer things in life.
Yes.
Oh.
Yo, I told my man, I was like, yeah, we got Jim coming. He was like, yo.
That's what he asked me right now.
He was like, I'm like, oh man, this is it right here?
Yeah. That's saucy right here.
He said you better have the Dorito bag. He didn't bring the Dorito bag.
Yes, sir.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Y'all smoke?
I know some people.
All right, well, yeah. You can give this to the people you know. You heard? Tell them that's a gift from me.
I know some people. This guy is crazy. it's interesting though, because I put a post up today and I said, selling weed went from a felony to an essential business during COVID-19, but there's still thousands of people that's locked up in jail.
I think it's roughly like something like 40,000 people, some shit like that. Yeah. I don't want to quote it wrong, but I'm almost sure something around those numbers.
Yeah, so, I mean, how, you know, you're a black entrepreneur in this space, like you said, you was fortunate, but there's still a lot of people that still can't get in this space, and there's still a lot of people that's locked up for marijuana. And like I said, it's literally an essential business now. Mm-hmm. So what's your thoughts on the marijuana industry as far as, like, inclusion?
For one, we need to free everybody who's locked up on the marijuana ASAP. Charge right now. Mm-hmm. ASAP. They need to come home, and I know there's a lot of things that's going on where they've been freeing a lot of people who's still locked up for these bullshit charges at this point. For two, what the government has been doing, especially in California, they have these equity programs for some people that's been locked up, they get given the opportunity to come out and start a marijuana business, which is dope. But what they don't tell you is that to start a marijuana business is still a costly thing. So even if you are awarded this equity program, you're still going to need financial backing so that you can open up a store or dispensary so that, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. your license is worth something, so you make some money on it. But the fact that they started with the equity program to give people who's been convicted of these crimes of marijuana to now allow them to do business in the legal marijuana space is dope. They got a couple kinks they need to wrinkle out and things like that, but I think they need to add that to every state that legalizes the sale of marijuana. For starters, I think that's the least they could do. You know what I mean? Besides freeing everybody that's locked up because of the tree.
What do you think the few, like, all right, we in quarantine, we still in quarantine, and most musicians make a lot of money off touring. How you feel about the future of touring? Like, because I think, who had that virtual concert? Tory Lanez on YouTube?
Tory Lanez did one.
And then a few people.
Travis Scott did one.
It's a few people.
Well, he did it on the video game.
That was crazy.
A Boogie did one for YouTube. Yeah. What do you think? You think that's the new wave, or you think some people was like, there's nothing like in-person experience. They got to get back to that.
Pretty much they built in a space where we could virtually do anything we want, including concerts or whatever ideas we have. And so, exactly. And so we on target. I mean, the back end was the biggest money we can make as an artist. It was the most lucrative money we can make. And yeah. In the midst of the pandemic, we lost that. So there was a lot of artists that's been panicking, and I know that still a lot of artists that are panicking because it still hasn't come back to what we know it to be. This is why Quarantine Studios were created, not out of a panic, but out of a hustler's mind that, listen, I'm not used to not getting no money, and I like the lifestyle I like living, so let me figure out how to use my artistry to make a buck. By using my artistry to make a buck and not being selfish with myself, and I mean from selling 2 bars to 16 bars to anything in between, has made me a substantial amount of money. And from then, I took that model and I invited other artists, DJs, and rappers to help them make the same type of money that I was making from the business model that I chose and things like that. So you got to be creative out here. I mean, shit, because one door closes, that's it? You going to leave? Fuck that. I'm going to get on a fire escape. I'm going to climb in the window. I'm going to go to the back door. Everything got to be no more options for me to say that I'm quitting or I'm leaving. You dig? There's no way around that. So for artists who feel that they stuck, you got to think outside the box. And if you don't know how to do that, you better figure it out.
Fact.
Period.
And when you want to go to that concert, you're going to use a capital coin.
100%.
Big fact.
100%. So now I'm putting out an EP as an NFT.
Oh, we just said that. We just said that.
And I'm also going to put out an album that you only could buy with the capital coin. Two different things.
Breaking news alert.
We gotta get the EYL NFT.
Yeah. We should take
just to do it.
Cause I'm thinking I was thinking about the Supreme picture, I'm like, that could be an NFT in itself. Mm-hmm. That
is.
Mm-hmm. Remember we had this conversation.
Mm-hmm. No, the NFT thing is
it's a real thing. It's a real thing. And then that thing will go viral. We gotta do ours. Headshots. Pose.
It's a space where you can create anything you want. You just gotta be, you know what, people want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What people might be into.
Or what they deem valuable.
Yes. And there's a lot of value in a lot of things that are around you if you have the influence.
That's true. That's true. Especially, I feel like somebody like Jim, you know, the whole, some people transcend music. And like, we have this debate all the time, like who's the biggest group in New York?
Dipset.
Well, yeah, so.
We can't say without, yeah. That's always in the conversation.
Well, yeah, no, I mean.
We want to debate?
Biggest group?
Well.
Shall we debate?
No, nah, here's what I'm going with.
What are we talking about group?
Statistically or?
No. I'm saying this.
Let's do it then. Let's do it. We here.
All right.
What are we selling, music or lifestyle?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So that's what I'm saying. So it's like.
Well, who you want to be like or who you want to listen to? Which one is more important?
Unless the. So I'll say this.
Because you could be like me and still listen to that other music.
That's
remember
true.
That.
I'll say this.
What Dipset was. You heard? You dressing like Dipset and you was listening to G-Unit. There was no way around it.
Well, you was listening to to Dipset too, because at the time...
I understand, but what I'm trying to tell you is who we were.
No.
Niggas was not dressing like G-Unit.
No, you don't got to convince me. I was there. I was... When I was...
Some dudes was rocking that crazy tank. That joint was...
They were dubs. That's a fact. Straight dubs.
Nah, dudes was rocking
that. Fly niggas was not rocking that tank.
You had that tank on.
Nobody's
that tank. That tank was terrible. Not to say like that shit was dope because they made a shitload of money off it, but I'm saying about...
No, the cultural... That's what I'm saying. They transcend music because it was like, at that time, I was in prep school in Florida and when that album came out and... That was the same time when 50 first came out. So there's no denying 50's influence as far as music and his influence in rap. But the movement of Dipset transcended music.
It was different.
It was like, even to this day, people still dress up as them for Halloween every year. It's one of these things where it just became a cultural, you know what I'm saying?
It's different.
Nah, it's different. It's bigger. Like, even like, obviously, you know, Hometown Heroes, shout out to Styles and Kiss. Musically, I don't think anybody's really... Nobody... Jadakiss is one of the greatest rappers of all time.
Fact.
Hands down.
Hands down.
But, I mean, cultural influence...
Different.
Not really the same.
Yeah.
No disrespect, it's just not the same. So, I think I have to say, the NFT thing, like, they got a bunch of stuff where I feel like... Santana's bandana thing. Like, that's a pink, NFT. Pink, like, you know what I'm saying? Pink. The pink thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? There's so much stuff... The chains, and he was wearing the chains on the jeans. There's so much stuff that I feel like are like memorabilia.
Cultural moments.
Yeah, that's just, could just live.
But you say you're the greatest group, period.
Yeah, who's greater? Our favorite was NWA. That was me and Kevin.
Is Wu-Tang considered a group? Or is it a super group?
Nah, that's a super group. You really can't say Wu-Tang is a group.
See, Wu-Tang, but once again, it was the music. I didn't dress like Wu-Tang.
Nah.
Whoa, no, we can't do that.
Clarks?
Ghost and Ray.
The Clarks.
No, Ghostface. Ghost and Ray
they
changed
were fly,
the whole culture.
Nobody
Ray.
Dressed like Ghostface.
Rayquan.
Let's do that. But nobody dressed like Rayquan.
Nah, they had a gang of dudes.
That's Snow Beach. And I was young.
Let me tell you something about Wallaby. Only niggas that rock Wallabies was nostalgic niggas from the B-Boy age when he started talking about Wallabies at that point in time. I'm telling you, I'm from Harlem. Niggas wasn't rocking Wallabies in 95. And that's when Wu-Tang was hitting. The marble paint dripping the flyest lingo ever. Can't out-talk Ghostface for nothing. Was niggas wearing marble paint dripping uptown?
You had to find somebody to do it. You couldn't buy that.
It didn't matter. We wasn't buying not one Clark nothing uptown. You heard?
Harlem different, though.
Harlem is different. Clarks was more of a Jamaican thing. I don't care
I'm
what
Jamaican.
Nobody said.
I'm Jamaican.
Okay, then. And that's more of a Queens, Long Island thing. Because that was heavy Jamaican influence in Queens and Long Island in the 80s. I'm telling you. My cousin had pink wallabies, sky blue peach. He had all of them. He's from Long Island, Hempstead. Like, you dig? Like, I dig it. But when it comes to the history of style and culture, it's kind of hard to talk to me about.
Y'all right up there.
I'm just talking about the game. Diplomat. Remove Diplomat. I understand this shit from every group that moved around, from the way they dressed to what they pushed and who they were. Niggas want to be Rakim more than they want to be Big Daddy Kane. But niggas want to sing Big Daddy Kane shit all day, nigga. But Rakim was vicious, nigga.
Different.
Niggas want to dress like Rock. I don't care.
I'll say this.
And Big Daddy had fly shit, but niggas wanted that velour shit with the night. I was a fiend before. Niggas want to dress like Rock. Period.
Dapper Dan.
Period.
Dapper Dan. Harlem.
You heard?
Another Harlem.
Nah, they...
Niggas want to dress like Grand Poobah.
Nas.
914.
Nas.
Nas was a poster boy for getting fly. Helly Hansen's army hats to the side, jungle hats.
Jay-Z.
Nas
was Jay-Z.
No.
Jay-Z.
No.
No. He was
what he did. Versace?
The button-up
situation. We talking 90s?
Everything he did. The button-up situation.
Give credit.
We got to give credit.
Nas was the 80s? No, Nas was a... I told my real stylistic niggas. Jay is Jay. He's an influencer. He's a famous dude, but he's not the flyest dude.
No, that's a fact.
He wears a lot of fly shit. That's but niggas fact. Did not want to dress like Jay. You dig? When dresses went, Jay was wearing iceberg and all that type of shit. That was kind of a Harlem thing. Yeah. You heard? Like, remember that, boy. Like, watch the history of why niggas getting fresh.
You don't think Love gonna go crazy when he
you
hit
dig? It? Like, I'm gonna break it all down and then you can ask these same gentlemen how they feel about it. Cause I know who are the stylistic people and which people was following who back in the day. You heard? MC Ricky D was dope as fuck, but niggas didn't want to dress like MC Ricky D.
See, Ricky D.
You heard? And we could go forth and go forth. Special Ed. Niggas want the special, like, fresh Special Ed.
Wow.
Got plenty, that's plenty. What?
And I still want more.
What?
And I still want
what?
More.
What?
B.I.G.?
B.I.G. was a fat, jiggy nigga. He put on for the heavy niggas and got crazy with it. Styles. Nobody could take nothing away from B.I.G.
Somebody put him in the clothes.
Who?
No, it's different. Are they dressing themselves or they got a stylist?
It really don't matter because when you come off on camera, you looking
so good. So we got to throw Joe in there.
You
got to throw Joe in
who,
there.
Who, Fat Joe?
Yeah,
Fat Joe get fly.
Yeah. What? I don't know if people were dressing people to be like Fat Joe.
This is what I'm trying to tell you.
I don't think nobody was dressing.
Fat Joe get fly, but niggas is what's not that? Really like I'm dressing like
on
Joe.
On the wake up.
Big niggas?
But partly because they can't.
Big was it, and Heavy D was it for the big niggas.
Shout out to Heavy D. Rest in peace.
D?
Mount Vernon.
Rest in peace.
I'm Stiggly D, nigga. Heavy D got busy for the big niggas. You heard?
I think that's Grand Poobah, too.
Grand Poobah was one of the freshest niggas in hip-hop history.
That's a fact.
That Tommy Hilfiger
movie? Hands down. When you first saw ACGs back in the day, Grand Poobah had him on.
That's a fact.
With all the fly Tommy Hilfiger exactly. shit, the boxes busting out with the spring jackets and all that. Don't play with Grand Poobah.
I actually ran into him like 10 years ago. I was driving. I thought I saw him in a new show. He was going to the post office. I stopped the car. Got out. They're like, what you doing? I'm like, it was Grand Poobah. Like,
you got to stop.
I said, yo, you one of the freshest dudes I ever met.
Nigga, period.
I had to tell him that.
Nigga, Grand Poobah?
I had to.
Grand Poobah? Oh, my.
Do your research.
Kids oh, like, my who's that? God.
They don't even know who Grand Poobah is.
Do your research.
You know who used to get fly, too, but he didn't pop as much as he was supposed to. My man, Andre the Giant. I used to like how that nigga used to get fly. You don't know who Andre the Giant was? AG, what's up with you, man? How old are you?
37.
All right, you might not know who AG is, man. That's Bronx digging in the crates. Y'all got to do your history.
Oh, go digging in the crates?
Go pull some of them videos
up. We just spoke about that.
Pull up Andre the Giant.
We talking about with Joe.
Pele, leather Pele sweater jackets, nigga. No zipper, nigga. Just the buttons up here and shit like
you said
that.
AG? Showbiz and AG?
Yeah, nigga.
Oh, Showbiz and AG.
Why I got to say Showbiz? Niggas, I'm like, nigga, AG is AG. Nigga, what the fuck you mean? Andre the Giant, nigga.
You heard? But I mean, if we talk about fresh, we can't forget Sosa.
Who's Sosa?
AZ.
Yeah,
one of the flyest of all.
Dress like Nas, though. AZ,
but that was his
fresh.
Partner. That was his partner.
Okay,
crime.
But
one
AZ
of the flyest.
We're talking about when niggas want to dress like. At that era, AZ got fresh, but niggas want to dress like Nas. Niggas want that Helly Hansen. Niggas, you heard? You didn't have that heli? You was a dub in high school, nigga.
The fade.
You heard?
Fade.
Alone. Nas was fly, nigga. He had the motherfucking rugby shirts and all that shit. What's the... What these niggas get? Yo, man, listen, man.
So where's Ye at in that?
Ye is not a fly, nigga. He knows that. He makes sneakers.
He said he knows
Ye's
that.
Ye's new generation. The new generation.
Man, who dresses like Kanye? What does Kanye dress like?
Nah, a whole generation of kids.
He inspired.
They wear his sneakers.
Nah, they was doing the backpack. He said that. But the backpack.
He started the whole backpack.
What backpack? The backpack.
The Louis Vuitton backpacks. Yeah, and
niggas been buying Louis for years in fucking hip hop. Now he's responsible for Louis backpacks? No. I understand what you're saying, but Kanye wasn't a fresh nigga. He wore fresh sneakers. He made the freshest sneakers. But really, who got up to dress like Kanye? Tell me.
Be quiet.
Tell me, nigga. You got up like, I want to dress like Yeezy today, nigga. He dressed crazy.
Like kids younger than us, though. Yeah. Like
they want his sneakers.
They was doing that mohawk. They was doing all types
Little
of
Lil Wayne, yeah. too. They was all stars.
That's them.
Yeah,
we can't say Wayne without them.
No, I know. But I'm just saying, Wayne, there's no Young Thug without Lil Wayne.
There's not a bunch of these littles.
But nobody that's really want to dress like Lil Wayne. They do want to dress like Young Thug, though. Lil Wayne was dressing like us. And Young Thug got a whole generation of kids that follow him 100%.
I like him.
100%. Fact. He's the only one that could get away with and sell them type of records that he sell. That young man is a rich, stylish motherfucker. You dig? You got to understand what he's at in this era.
Took it a little too far.
But he scaled the back. He said the most gangster shit ever.
What's that?
He said he scaled everything back because everything he did was a calculation. But his son didn't understand what he was doing. And that made him scale everything back so his son to understand.
He got confused.
Yeah, but what about other kids, people's son that didn't.
Listen, that's not his responsibility. His son is his responsibility. And by him being responsible to understand what he needed to do for his son, you could see that on camera for other people to understand how he scaled
it back. Are you putting Uzi in this category too, him and Thug? Because they wearing women's clothes because they said they bought all the men's clothes already.
Listen, I don't like Uzi, my man. Diamond head is crazy. That's a whole nother wave. I don't know where he went with it. He's on super futuristic, bored. I seen a lot of niggas bored with money, but that was the stupidest boredom that I've seen in a while.
You know why he did it? Did you know? He was with Fat Joe. He said he would have put it in a ring, but he knew in his mind he would have lost it. So he put it in his forehead.
I can see if he pressed it, and then the car would have pulled up.
Or he disappeared.
You pressed this shit and like. Listen, man, to each his own, though. You did?
Shout out to them, man.
We're at a point in this rap business where some of these artists are making so much money that whatever we got going on.
Yeah.
Shout out to them because I would say Young Thug and Lil Uzi pretty much are the leaders of the new generation.
Travis Scott, yes.
100%.
Yeah.
You did? But what I mean by is like, and there's a million of them that's successful under them.
Yeah.
But they all, that trio right there, these kids go crazy for. Like, they like, yo, my shit is, like, I had to learn how
for,
big
for
they
music
was.
Or the style?
I believe for both.
For both?
100%.
I'm gonna put my guy Baby in there too. Lil Baby.
Oh, Lil Baby's the Baby too. The Baby.
Wait, hold on.
Both.
Lil Baby.
That's my guy.
Influence of the year to me, but it's a different influence than a Young Thug and a...
Yeah.
Lil Baby is a dope boy influencer that's always going to hit inside our culture.
Yeah,
okay? He represented nostalgic music and the future music of the niggas that like to hustle.
Merged together. He's special.
Young Thug represents the new music that took over when it came to streaming and independent music that started making... so much money, these labels started to start giving out these big checks to these new artists coming out of nowhere because they learn how to monetize their own money from the streams.
Yeah.
No, that's a fact. Are you still at A&R?
In my own mind.
Okay. Well, you were at Tots, right?
What? Warner Brothers Inc. I was over there as an A&R director, so I pretty much was everybody's boss. it was like Leo and Kevin Lyles and Jim Jones.
So what was your response? Like, what is the A&R? What are you...
Bullshit title for somebody.
That's what we thought.
Bullshit title for somebody that listens to music and gives his opinion on if that shit is dope or not.
Did you bring any artists over there?
To where?
When you were at A&R, did you like...
Where, at Koch?
At
Warner.
Yeah.
Well, I remember once... Well, I helped a lot of like curated music. But the one artist I was trying to get was Rick Ross at the time. And I remember Rick Ross wanted $1 million when he came out with, I think it was Every Day I'm Hustling, when it was just in the street.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Kevin Lyles, you need to sign this kid, Rick Ross, because Def Jam is about to give him $1 million. He like, I'm not giving him $1 million. I'm like, no, you need to give him $1 million. Like, this is what you hiring me for? This kid is on fire like you can't understand. And they missed that boat.
Boy, were they wrong.
How you gauge talent? Like, there's so many people that rap, so many people that have talent. How you know somebody is going to be... You never really know, but like...
30 seconds. Let me hear their music. Give me 30 seconds with their music and give me 5 minutes with them in the room. And I can tell you if they're going to be a star or they're just going to be good at doing music.
So what's some characteristics that somebody makes somebody a star? The it factor?
Yeah. When a person walks in the room, it depends on the type of attention they command.
Like the aura. Mm,
you feel the aura.
Like the aura. You feel the aura.
Yeah, the energy.
Yeah.
When a person has that energy,
yeah,
you become a fan instantaneously. Like, damn, I like this nigga energy. I fuck with him. Like, yeah, yo, tell sure, let me get that nigga number. I need to, like, you just, you know a nigga energy. Like, oh, he gonna go with it. There's a lot of things from selling lifestyle to the music. But the music is the most important component before an artist becomes an artist. If you don't have the power in that music to make me want to figure out what the rest of you is about, then you're a dub from the get-go.
You think music is more important than the intent? Like, I feel like now, the other stuff is more important than music.
You still need the music. Still need to be heard for people to want to know who you are. Mm.
But you don't really have to be good.
You don't. You just need to run the numbers up.
Yeah, that's it.
But you still need the music
and to run the numbers up. And they're figuring out ways to run the numbers up.
You need the music to run the numbers up. Yeah. Right now, you can't get signed at any label if your numbers are not of adequate numbers that the label feel that you should have.
Like
no matter how talented you are. And that's the fucked up part that's going on in this industry. There are some talented motherfuckers that could become stars, big as Michael Jackson, that won't get the opportunity to have a deal because they don't have a certain amount of streams on YouTube or they don't have a certain amount of numbers on IG. But meanwhile, these people can be the next Drake. These people can be the next such and such. So this is how the whole industry is moving right now. And that's one of the things that really bothers me as me having... being an A&R, quote unquote, because now it's, what am I, on the internet just fishing for the nigga got the highest streams, or am I looking for some real music?
Yeah. That's what it's come to.
Can you make a hit?
Not even can you make a hit. Can you get followers? Can you get YouTube views?
Or can you get on TikTok? Really?
TikTok
blowing dudes out the water.
TikTok's moving.
Out the water.
I'm about to get a TikTok.
I ain't got no sense. I don't even know what song it is.
I don't even know what song it is either. That's crazy. That's crazy.
I got no sense. I've just seen people doing the duck walk. I'm like, all right, this is a hit.
All around the world.
There's a
grown
hit.
Ass. What the fuck? Y'all niggas don't sit your ass down, man.
And bitch, I got cool. No sense.
Got your girl doing it, yelling in. What the fuck is you doing? You look like a duck. Pardon me. Give a fuck how much money you got. I'm not going to be running around here. Fuck out of here.
Jim. Been a pleasure, my brother.
Yeah, you're going to give me some trouble.
We'll clean it up. Don't even worry about it.
Oh, man. No, Troy, any last questions?
I do, man. As a sneaker guy.
Hip-hop
sneaker
question?
Well, I just want to know top 5 sneakers.
Top 5 sneakers?
Top 5. Yours.
You say you don't care about sneakers, though.
He do. He cares about being fresh in them.
Yes.
After you wear them, it's whatever. Yeah. But what's your favorite, like your top 5?
Jordan 6s.
Okay.
Jordan 1s. Hot Top Forces. Strap. All white, preferably.
Never did the 3/4.
Never did the 3/4.
Or mids.
We from,
no mids.
Mids is 3/4.
That's 3/4.
Oh, that's 3/4? Yeah. I hate them.
We from Harlem.
Yeah.
Low Top 1s. Constructions.
Tim's?
You don't put the orange and blue Bo Jacksons in there?
That wasn't top 5, though. There was a fly, but that's not top 5.
I love the Bo Jacksons.
We all have our own preferences. Like, cause I could go deep. I could go on the Delta Force and the Court Force. Like, them shits used to turn me on. The Terminators, them shits used to turn me on. Like, there's just so many sneakers I can start getting into. The Revolutions.
When I first got the Revolutions.
Like, the Agassiz. The first Agassiz that came out with the tennis ball on the back that was fused and shit like that. Like, we can go through all the sneakers. I got... Favorites for days when the Diadoras first jumped out, the high top ones with the tongue that ripped off. Did you know that Diadoras had an extra tongue you could paste on the top? No, you didn't. My sixth grade, my man Omar came first grade, second grade.
What year was that?
Maybe like 83, 84.
I was born in 84.
Diadoras had the high tops. And then they had an extended tongue with Velcro, so you can make the tongue longer, so you could tongue fuck your jeans and shit. But it ripped off like, you heard? Then you had the kangaroos back in the day. You could stash your money in the side. You know about the kangaroos, right?
Nah.
You don't know about the rules?
Nah. We started with, in that era of the Bo Jacksons.
You got to do some real sneaker history, because you can't really answer no real sneaker questions.
Well, he said he's a sneakerhead. You should be ashamed of yourself. I don't profess to be a sneakerhead. I am
definitely a sneakerhead.
So you're failing.
You gotta do some history.
Do the knowledge.
I'm always going to learn.
Do the lesson.
Missing errors of sneakers.
You're missing the lesson,
I'm
bro.
A Nike. Well, I would say this. I'm a Nike.
You're missing errors of Nike.
You can't be a sneakerhead and just be Nike.
Do you know what Delta Force is?
Of course.
You know what Court Force is?
Of course.
All right.
I'm thinking like when you start saying that in my head. Is? Terminator, who rocked those? Tell me who rocked them. What athlete? I'll know about athletes.
Like the Terminators was the Georgetown joints with the big Nike in the back.
Oh, yeah. That was
Patrick Ewing.
Patrick Ewing was there, right?
Yeah, Dave Wingate. Those guys.
When they lost to Jordan.
They lost to Jordan, then they lost to Houston. Yeah. See, I know like that. If you tell me the athlete, I got you.
Okay, I'm thinking,
as you saying, I'm like, the David Robinsons, okay.
Yeah, the athlete. Yeah, now that's, I remember seeing some more of that type of shit from niggas that used to be on the block. Oh, when Choo Choo had the Coogee and shit like that. He was the first nigga I saw with a Coogee in 93. And then Big came out in 95 talking about Coogee sweater now. I'm like, my man Choo Choo was rocking up since 93, man. 11th grade, his mom's shit was 400. Talk about 400, almost fainted. Like, the sweater's 400? Like, no way your mom brought you a 400. He like, yeah, some rich shit. It's called a coochie and shit like that. She brought this for me. My uncle got ones and all that. Then Tunnel Biggie start talking about it. Man, my man children been here having coochies, nigga. What's up?
Jim, hip-hop question. Harlem. Top five Harlem rappers.
Top five Harlem rappers?
Harlem.
I got five right now.
I got five.
Six. I got five right now.
That's a
Juelz.
That's your favorite rapper of all time.
Juelz, Cam, Big L, Herb McGruff.
Herb McGruff.
And myself.
Yeah.
I would put myself at the top of the list, though. No disrespect. I'm busting right now.
You know what? You're the most improved. You know how the NBA to get the most improved award? Yeah. I feel like...
For 10 years running.
No. He's consistently gotten better.
Yeah.
Because I remember on Cam's first album, when you made an appearance, and to see the growth from then to now, it's actually pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
He's only... Because most rappers get worse as they get older.
Yeah.
He's one of the only people that have ever gotten better. Like, dramatically.
It felt like it was like...
most rappers never hustled when they was younger.
Mm. Were you a rapper at the start? Or was it just like that kid was get on the track?
You could tell he wasn't a rapper.
Yeah, I was like...
You could tell he wasn't a rapper.
I learned to rap because Cam and Mace was making a shitload of money. And he was like, man, we teach you how to rap.
You left that guy out the top five.
Mace?
Ooh.
Yeah. He's a dub. He too wishy-washy. He ain't really got no real Harlem stories. I could, you know what I mean?
Herb McGruff.
He's been a rescue mission for a long time.
Rescue mission.
You heard? But shouts to Mace, though. He definitely did a lot for Harlem. Like, he might not be in my top five.
Yeah.
Played a major part.
As far as the influence and pushing Harlem to be recognized in the world through our music, Mace is probably the biggest rapper at that time for Harlem.
I mean, ever.
Yeah, you know what I mean? At that moment in time when he blew, there was no one, no nothing, 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 nothing was like that what him and Diddy did.
Yeah.
Period.
It was crazy.
Retarded.
That was crazy.
Retarded.
Motion picture.
Retarded.
Motion picture.
You dig? I will not take it away from Bethel.
That's why I was like, yo, you called him out. It's been so long since I heard you call him Mace.
Hands down.
Bethel.
But you know, I grew up with all these gentlemen.
It's a legendary time.
Yeah. Nah, that's
I would put my man Neek. I would put my man Neek in. Like if it was a six man, like I'd put my man Neek in. My man Neek Bucks.
Neek Bucks.
Yeah, I would put him as a six.
Remember we met him?
Top five.
Yeah.
And there's a few other ones. I like Dub get crazy disrespectful behind Mike the Vice from Harlem. But I'll say the six man. I
haven't really gotten into his music too much. I like Dave East.
Davies is definitely.
I like Davies.
Dave is dumb nice.
He reminds me of that 90s retro.
But Dave is like a hybrid, so I can't really just be like he's all Harlem.
Queens too?
Yeah, you got it. You know what I mean? He's a hybrid. You can put him in the Queens category and shit like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Dave is dead nice. You see Dave is on all my projects.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
I got a great work
for him. But besides just like my top five, let's get like Harlem has a lot of fucking dope rappers. You got Shooter, you got Trigger, you got the Rider Nation, you got Sig the Trey, you got Yellow Tape, you got Rich the Rhymer. Pardon me if I'm forgetting all the battle rappers. Like, all the battle rappers, that's a whole nother lane and shit like that. But I'm talking about niggas that get busy. Like, Murder Mook is a fucking legend when it comes to
Loaded Lux.
One-on-one battle, face-to-face destruction. I can't do it.
Could you do a battle rap?
My hat to them. I couldn't.
In the fight, somebody.
Yeah, somebody. It's gonna go bad.
That's a new gym.
I wanna end all the battle rapping. There'll be no more battle rapping. Like, no more.
You'll get
locked up for having a battle rap event.
What's the dude from Coney Island that always punches everybody?
Hoff.
Yeah, Math Hoffa.
Hoff is retarded, man. Shout out to Hoff. That's my nigga, man. That nigga's retarded. So it'd be 10 times worse. And that's why I couldn't do it. But they like, be in a nigga's face like this close, like niggas, and your moms and bitch, and then they find the information. And if daddy was a snitch in the 86, you talk about bitch, you were a fucking son of a mouse, you rat ass nigga. Like, they be like, what?
I got your child support paperwork.
And they pulling it out, bitch. You ain't paid this shit in 9 years, nigga. Like, what?
Yo. Nah, it's too much.
It's
real recon on this shit. Like, they shit is definitely, somebody's doing a lot of research when it comes to my opponent. Like, nigga, yeah. get everything. We need everything.
Yeah,
nah, that's too much.
It gets real.
It's too much.
They nasty with it. But I respect the sport because they be, shit is dope. Nah. I could watch it.
Yeah.
I definitely could watch
it. It's a talent.
100%
It's a definite talent.
That's like
a lot of acting involved.
Yeah,
a lot of acting. You have like, and not saying like acting in a bad
like
way,
just the drama. Just
like, yeah, you got like yeah. If you got three rounds and you got to be at home, you got to get your shit right.
Yeah,
the
king just got to be there.
Everything like it's not,
you say something, your man comes in with the punchline.
Like this shit got to be. This shit is like ballet almost. So I respect him for that because I know it's like, I know it's not nothing you could do overnight when you prepping for a battle, especially when it comes to words. And not to mention, it's not easy. Like, most people think it's easy to rap. It's not even easy to talk half the time. You dig? So imagine trying to rap to music, and not jumble your words. And most black people have dyslexia. This shit is hard. You know? I'm telling you from my own personal experiences. This shit is hard.
Research department. No.
Oh, man. One of the most enjoyable conversations we've had.
I'm glad I came here. I didn't know what to expect. I'll be seeing your gentlemen. I'll be seeing Pretty Poised at all these interviews and you're talking proper. Like, man, what are these nerd niggas? What are they trying to prove? You heard? Like, I'm smart too. But this was cool. This was very dope, man. Yeah. You're very down to earth.
Nah,
it's dope to bump into people that know something about something. You know what I mean? A lot of these people I do interviews with really got a question and ask that, y'all. Seem to know your shit and you're knowledgeable about making business and showing black people how to make some money and I respect that. That's what I'm about.
We're going to get you to invest in the stock market.
Oh yeah, stock market.
If y'all want to show, sit down and teach me. I would definitely love the lesson. You
absolutely.
Dig? But I know how to create a stock and I'm good with that. So if I was to never get a lesson from y'all, I'm going to create more stocks that y'all can invest in. But if y'all want to give me a lesson on investing, sure, I got a couple of dollars. See if it could turn over.
All right, bet. So, What would you like to tell the people? What would you like to leave the people with? Well, you said everything, but yeah, what's your final words?
Just go for it. I mean, with everything that's going on and the way the world is running, we know that a lot of things have changed. Some has changed for the worse, a lot has changed for the better. I mean, you may not see it, but you need to look because there's a lot of things out there that can change your life for you and the life for your family if you just think a little bit. And what I mean by that is like, from prohibition to the gold rush, or is the gold rush to prohibition to .com to weed now to crypto space. So five things of this name that changed the life of America, right?
Yeah.
The biggest things that's changed the life of America, right?
That's a fact.
Mm-hmm. And we told you two that's alive and running right now, crypto and marijuana. So get with it, period.
Or get left.
Jack.
That's a fact, Jack.
You did?
Come on, I needed that. You gotta end it with that.
Jim. Come on. That's what the people wanted. We're gonna leave this on a tap.
This was dope, man.
Troy, housekeeper items?
Yeah, shout out to everybody on Patreon.com. Y'all know that's our Proud to Pay program. Everybody that is a tier five, you obviously have access to EYL University, the number one place for everything business, finance, and entrepreneurism. Shout out to all the earners that are on there, and shout out to everybody that's been supporting our merch. I got the tracksuit on, Shotty got that red. I don't even have that red, man. Shout out to Bam for putting out that merch and everybody that's been rocking it. We greatly appreciate you, and thank you for everybody that's been patient with getting that merch.
Yeah, and I just want to say this was dope for me, man. You know, before anything, we was hip-hop fans. We grew up on hip-hop music. So, like I said, that album right there was something that I listened to literally every day for 12 months straight. And these guys played a major part in the culture And, you know, anytime you get to actually have a conversation with somebody that you've listened to and has played, shaped, helped shape your life is extremely, you know, a humbling experience. Yeah. We don't take it lightly. So
I'm ready. He's playing in my head right now.
Jim Jones and Sesay Bone, Santana.
Don't make me feel too old, though. But I appreciate that love, man. That's what you do it for, man. You know what I mean?
Sure. So, all right, guys. Thank you for checking us out. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Backdrop.
Backdrop.
A mic drop. Backdrop.
Backdrop.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.